I've always struggled, as I've shared with you in the past, with these two themes of Rosh Hashanah, the aspect of the Day of Judgment, and simultaneously this concept of Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it seems like everybody's always trying to retrofit how these two concepts, Hashem's kingdom and the fact that 90% of the tefillahs are about Hashem's Malchus, and then the focus you see in so many, especially in the Sifrei Musar, and that field of thought about it being the Day of Judgment. And you know, you go to Chassidish Makim for Rosh Hashanah, and the highlight of the day is Ein Kitzvah, the section of the davening right before Kedusha on Musaf. Ein Kitzvah l'shneisach, there's no limit to your years, and nobody can imagine all the chariots, and it's all about this thing, and by tzaddikim, among the chassidish rebbes, they used to dance Ein Kitzvah for the Baal Tefillah with his feet together. I remember by the Bavrov, he never had a hernia, he had hernia issues, and he used to wear a thing that would keep his hernias from coming out. He would dance Ein Kitzvah. Oftentimes it didn't stay together. So he was in incredible pain, and he overcame this thing because it was, you know, this was it. And I remember taking Tzvi Werther once, and Tzvi was the cramming and pushing by Ein Kitzvah was like wild. Tzvi positioned himself where they had the walls are made out of marble, so you could see the reflection in the wall. So he positioned himself in such a place where he couldn't see the bubble roof, but he was able to see the reflection. So you have that, and that's like the highlight. And then I was in yeshiva for 2 years, and when it came to a nesana toike of Kedusha Sayyim about the harshness of the judgment and the power of that thing, the crying and the wailing was going on. Like, it's like two religions. So So I found a piece here that meshes these two things into a seamless concept, and how these two ideas are really one. I was very excited about this from Reb Chaim from London. So he says as follows. I'll go through the way he processes it and share with you his perspective. So, his go-to guru, Lahavdil, is Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Litzato. He was the one who really invested a great deal in the works of Ramchal. So he first of all quotes a Gemara. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Kiva, let me just give you the citing of where the Gemara is. It doesn't tell me here. I think it's Daf Tezvav, page 15a. So the Gemara there says like this: why does the Torah tell us to bring the Korban Omer on Pesach? In order that Hashem will bless the grains that are in the field. So the Torah is telling us, giving us a key. You want your crops to be blessed, the grain, Korban Omer. Continues the Gemara. And why do we bring Bikurim on Shavuos? So that Hashem will bless the fruits of the trees. Why do we bring Nisuch HaMayim, the pouring of the water on the altar on Sukkot? So that Hashem will bless us with rain. Right? So each of these mitzvahs, the Gemara is telling us, points to a blessing in an associated man. Comes the Gemara and continues, and on Rosh Hashanah we say Malchias, Zichronus, and Shofres, those three brachas that we say in Musaf, kingship, remembrances, and the Shofres. Malchias, kingship, Kedesha Talmlichuni Aleichem, in order that you will coronate me over you. Zichronus, remembrances, in order that your remembrances will come before me for the good. Ubameh, and how do all these things solidify? What's the key? Just like you have the other mitzvahs that you find on Shavuos and on Sukkot and on Pesach, b'shofar. Shofar is the mitzvah that brings the malchus together. So you have a connection here between the shofars, the malchus, and the fact that it somehow brings Zichra Nechem, that it sweetens it makes the din an effective din that for our benefit. Kadesh Tamli Chuni Alecha. But the goal is in order to accept Hashem's malchus over us. Okay? So what's the connection between the malchus and the din? So again, up until now, it seems like there's two different ideas going on here. One is coronation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It also happens to be the Day of Judgment. Comes Rabbi Friedlander and tells us, we're going to skip his, he goes through a thing here with the Ran and other opinions. Then he brings now Ramchal. So he says as follows. This is in something called Maimer HaChachma from Ramchal. He says, on the day of Rosh Hashanah, the master, blessed is he, stands as king over his world, and therefore it is the appropriate time to pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal his malchus to the world. So the purpose of the prayers of Rosh Hashanah is Gilui Malchus, is the revelation of Malchus. Now, we see that, for instance, the song that we continuously, there's two Kapitlach Tilim that we say on Shabbos continuously. One of them is Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos, and the other one is Hashem Malach Geus Lovesh. It's all about we mentioned it also in Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, that Hashem clothes himself in Malchus. Okay? So, says Ramchal that the purpose of human life is to be here to reveal the Malchus of heaven on earth. That's what we're doing here. Somebody says, mission statement, okay? The small letters that came with the tag that was attached to us when we were born, is you are here to reveal Malchus Shamayim on planet Earth. Okay, then they lose the tags, and of course we forget what we're supposed to do.
Usage applications.
Right? Exactly.
So right. Let me ask you this. If most of the time, at least in the Frum circles, given you live fairly separate from the rest of the Goyim, I mean, we need different, interact with them and all. So how is this being transferred over if we're living by ourselves?
Right. So we got to first define what that means, revelation of Malchus. It's not about proselytizing, going standing on the street corners on a milk crate screaming God is King.
Right. On Times Square.
Now. So
there was an explosion in Chelsea yesterday.
Yeah. Not about Malchus Shamayim.
No.
So the day of Rosh Hashanah, according to Ramchal, uses this term, is the day of the renewal of Hashem's Malchus. Okay, it's Yom Chidush Melucha, the day of the renewal, the coronation. So he says, where do we have a reference to this? Wait, Balt, let him explain. Balt. He says like this, where do you find such a concept? In the Torah, you find that on Paro's birthday, he calls into judgment the butler, the wine butler and the baker. One of them he kills. And the other one, he returns to his status. So, Rabbi Friedlander says, maybe he's quoting even Ramchal in this, I don't remember. He says, like, you know, we understand that he returns the butler to his position as butler, the wine butler, because that's a birthday dikya kind of thing to do. People on their birthdays, they celebrate. You're happy, so you make somebody else happy. But unless we're dealing with some really demented sicko, what are you going to killing the baker for? That's not such a birthday dikazach to do,
cake.
Especially he makes the birthday cakes. why are you killing him for? So he says a very fascinating thing is that he takes a warped idea and then applies it to something in Kiddush. He says like this, that Paro did not separate his birthday from his being king. His birthday, in his mind, because the pharaohs took their melucha very seriously. Ani Asasuni, they said about themselves, I created myself. They were a little bit conceited in their image of their kingdom. And therefore, they saw their birthday as the day of the renewal of the melucha, of the kingdom. And the judgment was, is this person worthy of being a servant of the king? Should they be occupying their position? So it's not like, hey, happy birthday, I'm a guy, and let's celebrate with balloons and beer. It's a day of reestablishing the melucha. And if it's reestablishing the melucha, we need now to see whether or not the people who are in position belong in their positions.
But did now, he no longer have free will because Yosef...
No, that's what...
Said that he was going to kill him?
Oh, don't get into that. that whole question of free will, predetermination, so on.
Yosef said this is what's going to happen.
Now, lest you think that you say that okay, this is just in the realm of a crazy pharaoh, you see the same concept when... There's a concept in the Torah we see 4 or 5 times, Nisius Reish, that Hashem counts the Jews. And it's referred to as Nisius Reish, lift up the heads of the Jews. That concept of Nisius Reish also applies in the positive and in the negative. Okay? So usually we refer to it as Nisius Reish, lift up, you're going to lift people up. But we see that you see in Chazal that there were that concept applies both in the positive and the negative, meaning that there's a judgment that takes place as to whether or not certain people are going to be counted and in on the act, or they're going to be excluded from the play. We don't get our acting role. It brings various sources in Chazal to prove that concept of Nisius Reish applies both to the positive and to the negative. So what he's saying here is that when we're talking about the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is what is going to be our role in the purpose of creation, because Rosh Hashanah is Zayom Tchilas Masecha, Zikaron the Liyamirishin. It's a day that commemorates, and more that we'll talk about in a minute. It's not a bicentennial celebration of creation, but it is a reenactment of creation. It's not a total recreation. It is Zikaron Liyamirishin. It is a commemoration, but in that commemoration, the question is, what is our part in fulfilling the mission of creation? What's the role that we're going to play in this Yom HaZikaron? And obviously, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge what our role is going to be is going to be based upon past performance. And how else do you judge whether somebody else is the right guy for the office? You look at his resume. So our resume of what we've done in the past determines what role we're going to play in the future. So that leaves one with a queasy stomach, because it's hard for anybody to say, oh, that's so exciting, I can't wait to deliver my resume to HaKadosh Baruch Hu so that he could judge me for the coming year based upon my past performance. So that doesn't leave us in a great spot of confidence. So he brings here from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who said that the Mikubalim bring that when somebody says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that he should coronate HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the 7 heavens and all four directions of the world. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said that it's way too risky, because it's possible for a person to coronate HaKadosh Baruch Hu over everybody else and over everything else and forget about themselves. That they also have to coronate HaKadosh Baruch Hu over themselves. Yankee told me a really piercing thought. He told me the name of the person who said it. I don't remember. It was one of the Darshanim of the past generation. It was talking about the concept of democracy. So he said that democracy starts out as a rebellion against tyranny and against a monarchy and against the abuse of power, right? So you decide that we're not going to have a leader who's going to be forced upon us. We're going to choose our leader. The next step is that even after we choose our leader, that leader cannot make decisions for himself. They have to be run by Congress so that we have representation by the people to make sure that his decisions, that his abuse, his power is not being abused. From there it goes to the fact that even if you have a majority of Congress, that the minority also has a voice. Okay? And that you can't really force the decisions of the majority upon the minority. He says, ultimately, when the whole thing really pans out and ends up at the end, it's don't force your ideas upon me. And the ultimate is that even if intellectually I know something is right or wrong, don't force my head over my heart. I want to do something. Don't. We say to our own minds, don't push your ethical moral agenda on me. He says that's the ultimate outcome of democracy. Is it starts with outside authority, but it concludes even with inner authority. That I don't. We resent our conscience for telling us what's right and what's wrong. Don't tell me what to do. The emotional component is resentful of the intellectual truths in our being, that even our own minds should not be able to rule over our internal desires and wants.
That 100% makes sense. I've always thought we should have authoritarian totalitarian.
Thank you very much. Right, the opposite is equally dangerous. Right. I don't remember who Yankee said it from. Right, the opposite. That's why Soim Tosim Alecho Melech Mikerev Achecho Tamlech. Last week we had all the psukim about Malchus, about what a Jewish kingdom looks like. And we know that when it was in the wrong hands, it became a really ugly scene. There was terrible abuse of power.
One of the founding fathers said about democracy, it's a horrible system, but it's the best one we know.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a vote against democracy.
No, I'm just saying you gotta know what the traps are.
What the quote?
Here he goes. Okay. He's got it always. He gets it all the time. It's within 30 seconds he's got it. Anyway. So. So what do we do about this? We're not feeling real good because if it's based upon past performance, then we're left wanting. So he says like this, that that's where tefillah plays a role. And that's where the focus on Malchus plays a role. Meaning like this. You can't really hold somebody responsible for past performance. And this happens even you find it in the world today in companies, that you find people who work at a place for quite some time, and they get a review. The review is a terrible review, and the reason that they failed was because they really did not have clarity about what the company's mission was about. Right? I didn't have clarity. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. Rabbi Orr told me that there's a dairy farm in Utah, Nevada, somewhere out there, that they produce powdered milk.
They produce what?
Powdered milk. Right? They milk the cows. They produce powdered milk. But the main product of the company is fertilizer.
Really?
Right? So imagine you got a guy who goes into this company, and he comes up with all kinds of fascinating ways of increasing the milk supply, but while doing so he diminishes the amount of output, no puns intended, right? He reduces the downloads. So, and he thinks he's doing a great job for the company, right? Because he's increasing the amount of milk. Well, so eventually the company president is going to call him and say, yes, we very much appreciate the fact that you're increasing milk, but our main bottom line, no puns intended, is
the download.
The fertilizer, and you're reducing the amount of fertilizer. What the refocus of Rosh Hashanah is, says Reb Chaim Friedlander, is tefillah about Malchus, meaning, Rebbeinu Shlomo, I want to be the best soldier in the army of creating this Gilui Malchus, revealing them your Malchus in the world. But I can only do that if I have a deeper understanding of what it means to be an Eved Hashem, of what it means to, of what it means that Hashem is Melech Al Kol Haaretz. And therefore, the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah focus entirely upon Melech Kol Olam Kulay, Ribbono Shel Olam, your kingdom should reign supreme, and so on. And it's constantly about pushing the agenda of Hashem's Malchus, not upon them. Of course, we do say Melech Kol Haaretz and so on, but mainly upon me and what my role can be in revealing that Malchus. He says, obviously, when Hashem says, Imru lefonai malchius, say before me the psukim of malchius, we're not talking about how quickly we can utter those psukim. It's not about the Imru lefonai malchius, but it's about Imru lefonai malchius. It's about, okay, my child, let's study malchus. Let's study the concept of what it means to be a melech, and by definition, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech, then I'm subject. Then I'm one of his avadim. And to the degree that we have a concept of Malchus, can we have an understanding of Avdus? If we don't understand Malchus, we don't understand Avdus. He said this, Rabbi Waxman. Waxman? Who was the guy from Florida? The rabbi who spoke here by Rockies. Not Waxman. He spoke by Lawrence Schleicher.
Shapiro.
So Rabbi Shapiro told the Maisa, and I've seen it since then, Biksav, that there was a Twersky who came to Ellis Island. And she spoke a fairly decent English. So they said to her, what's your name? She said, what's your last name? My last name is Twersky. What's your husband's name? Twersky. What's your maiden name? She said, Twersky. What's your mother's maiden name? She said, Twersky. So the lady goes and calls her supervisor and says, we need to help, some help with this lady. She doesn't understand English. To which the lady responds, she says, we need help with this lady. She doesn't understand Twersky. She didn't realize that all the answers to her questions weren't correct, that she was a Twersky, her husband was a Twersky, her mother's a Twersky, his mother's maiden name was a Twersky. And that's, you know, that's the... That's the case with my father, right? My mother's mother's maiden name was Twersky. So, you know, that's a new definition of intermarriage. If we don't understand Melech, we don't understand Eved. If we don't understand what our role is, then we can't understand what the purpose of the tefillah is. Of Rosh Hashanah, the focus of all these things are. He brings here from the Alter of Kelm, if you want to coronate HaKadosh Baruch Hu over you, start by coronating your own Seichel over you. How often can we what would be the term of not force, but how often in the struggle between mind and desire does the mind win? Right? I mean, if you want to really summarize the essence of the human struggle, so we throw in the towel all too often when we have the argument between, I mean, I've shared this with you in the past, this fascinating observation. I think I heard it from my brother-in-law Laser years and years ago, where he said, just listen, pay attention to the voices. I'm under the covers in the morning, the alarm clock rings. One voice says, I want to sleep some more. The other voice says, you should really get out of bed. Who is you and who is I? And this goes on in virtually all of our temptations. I is my body, my desires, my lusts. The you is the little guy with the halo who speaks as a you. Well, in great Jews, it's the opposite. It says about Hillel HaZaken that they asked him once, where are you going? He says, I'm going to do chesed with my body. I'm going to go to the bathhouse and give it a wash. I'm going to eat. I'm going to go treat my body. He had the opposite. But that's the unusual. That's not the norm, right? The norm is the you. And in fact, we say it in the brachas. Elikai, neshama shenasata bi tairi. The neshama that you put in me is pure. The me is the body, right? So the effort, certainly now in the days prior to Rosh Hashanah, is a realignment of definition of purpose. Who are we? What are we doing here? And then when Rosh Hashanah comes, Kaviyochel, the birthday of when HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares Hayem Haras Olam, today is the birthday of the world, and as a result I am king. If I am king, we need to bring into question who are the subjects, because Chazal tell us Ein Melech Beloyam, there's no such thing as a king without a nation. You have people who are kings without a nation are in institutions. There are many of them, by the way. There's the king of whatever it is. They have, you know, marked rooms in the institutions, right? And Melech Balayam. And the question is going to become, in what way are we the Am? In what way are we the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What role specifically are we going to play in that? In that mission. Let's go back a little bit to what Marty brought up before, which is, okay, how does that play out as Melech Ha'olam? How is my putting on tefillin in the morning creating any greater sense of Malchus in the world? So it's interesting, this becomes a theme in many of Ramchal's Hashkafa of purpose of the world, the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the declaration of the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It really goes to the heart of what we were talking about yesterday in struggle, in the value of struggle. The language of the Zohar, in a very, very powerful, we might take a day and talk about that very issue, but the Zohar's terminology is that every time there is a struggle between light and dark, okay? Every time we are caught in a moral and ethical dilemma and we make the right choice, that there is a istalak yikra de kutcha b'richu le'elo, there is a form of nachis, of pleasure. The imagery that he uses is you're taking a place which is densely dark and a light pierces through the darkness. If we perceived that imagery every time we're faced with an ethical and moral dilemma, and the way the Zohar describes it is that takes place specifically when there is that moral challenge. So if it's all smooth sailing and we don't have the challenge, then we're not shattering any darkness. There are people who live in the light, right? The people who live in the Bahamas all year long. They're not struggling with snow removal. That's not part of their issue. But for the rest of us, the majority of creation, who are dealing with our oftentimes self-created the darkness with which we struggle, and we have victories over evil, even though, number one, we can't see the light because we have spiritual cataracts. We can't perceive the aura that we're bringing into the world. That does not preclude its existence. Okay, the fact that we can't perceive something doesn't mean that it's not happening. And in fact, it's the gathering of that light, it's the inclusiveness of all of our contributions coming together that ultimately will be, as we conclude the brachas in Rosh Hashanah, which is that ultimately the day will come when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reveal that malchus to the world. Gali kvod malchus chaleinu. and it's going to be the result of billions and billions of moments that we provided that revelation. So these two ideas of the judgment of the Yom HaDin and the coronation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only are they not two ideas that are disparate ideas that we need to bring together, but according to what he's saying here, based upon Ramchal, is, again, let me just give you the terminology. On the day of Rosh Hashanah, the Master stands kaviyochol on the level of king over his world. And therefore, it is our job to be mispalel that he reveal that kingdom, and that we have the right or the responsibility or be given the opportunity to play a role in that Gilui Malchus Shemayim. Obviously, in order to do so, we have to be healthy, and we have to be wealthy, and we have to have our Chavas Adas. We have to have all kinds of good things going for us so that we can contribute adequately to that role. The Chayza of Lublin once said, does it pass God? Is it appropriate that those who are proclaiming you as king should be a bunch of shnaris? Should be a bunch of guys who are down and out? If Hashem is to be a proud, appropriate melech, then his subjects ought to be the most gifted, talented, wealthy, healthy, robust subjects in the world. It's no kints if a bunch of schnarrers are calling him king. We need to see to it that it should be the most fortunate group of people that are coronating HaKadosh Baruch Hu as king. Imru lefanei malchias kidei shetam lichud yalechem. I want you to say before me the psukim of malchias in order that you will coronate me over you. The understanding of melech allows that coronation to take place. To the degree that we understand the concept of Malchus, can we have an appreciation for what the judgment is that's taking place? And it's going to be completely commensurate with the deeper the understanding of what Hashem's Malchus is about, the better our understanding of the role we can play and how we're judged in success or failure of that role.
Yeah. Do we take upon ourselves not only the Malchus, but does Hashem change the role from Father in heaven to Malchus?
Well, it actually says the opposite. That to the point that we take the judgment seriously, to that degree does Hashem move from the seat of judgment to the seat of mercy. Because He wants to give us the tools of...
So the mercy, the Rachmanis, is from...
the vantage point of a father. Im kibonim, im kavodim. We say throughout the evening. Sometimes the judgment is like a parent.
Yeah. So.
And at times it's like a king.
So in this case, it's like.
It starts out as king, and we want to move it into the realm of a father and a prince. The king and the prince. Right. So there's his relationship to the prince is different than his relationship to Stam, the street cleaner. We're trying to move into the role of a prince.
We have to make ourselves worthy, pleased, to be able to hold the light.
Precisely. So he's saying, how do we do that? The more we understand, the depth we understand the concept of melech allows us to understand better the concept of eved. We should focus less on the eved and more on the melech.